Hi everyone, we are back with the trailing episode of Prehabilitation with Gaurav Negi. Check out the first part of this amazing conversation right now if you haven't been through it yet. Next up would be Abhishek with Gaurav Negi. Enjoy the conversation.
Let's come to this thing, knee traveling beyond toes. Mm-hmm. So this is again, like, I don't know about yoga, but I have seen many people, you know, they suggest me that, see, when you do this squat or that particular movement, the knee is traveling too far beyond your toes, so it might injure your knees. So do you think, is there any substance to this claim?
Okay.
Or for beginners, we should
I will start with this statement that I already told before, our body is designed to move.
Yeah.
So there is no limitation for the body to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there is nothing wrong and nothing right. Because something which is right for you, I'm not saying wrong for me, but maybe I'm not capable of doing that.
You may have to prepare for
it. Maybe I have to prepare, but I can also do that someday, right? When it comes to knee going forward and passing the toes, it is very functional for the body. You are just taking that point from the squat perspective or a lunge perspective. Mm-hmm. What if I would say, when you play a game or run or step down the stairs, what happens then?
It's going way beyond.
It is more functional. So when you're stopping your knee there at 90 degree, just over your ankle, then you're stopping the mobility.
Right.
On the ankle. And then you are losing the strength on the knee for those particular angles. So I would never recommend anyone to stop their range. Yeah, but nowadays, why that term came into existence?
Yes.
Let me come back to that.
Yes.
Rather than discussing on knee going forward or back, that is quite normal. You should do it.
Yes.
I would prefer toe squatting more than heel squatting. I prefer that. Because in toe squatting, you're few more muscles get engaged in, you know, doing that movement.
Yeah.
When your heels are up,
yeah,
and you are doing squats, then you are more in control rather than when your heels are down. I would say that.
Yes.
Right? So I am very much agreeing to that point. Go guys, take your toes away.
Yeah.
Or take your knees away from the toes,
yeah,
I would say. It is much safer. Because when you are playing, you are doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine when you are playing cricket or something, you're going down to pick the ball. What do you do? Your knee is going way beyond,
yes,
almost touching the grass maybe. And
yeah,
you're
like
getting.
I say whenever someone asks me, when you do lunge, like you are saying, squat when your knees are going beyond your toes is unsafe. But when you're doing lunges and you're saying, no, front knee shouldn't go beyond your toes, but your back knee is already way beyond your toes. So, I mean, what are you saying?
So, in the end, Abhishek, I will just end this point here,
yeah,
that it is much healthier and safer and functional for the human body to let the knee go beyond the toes.
Mm-hmm.
To let the knee go. But why this topic came into existence,
yes,
in today's date, and it is everywhere.
Right.
Why? Because of human limitation again. Because we have stopped, like we already discussing for last few minutes,
uh-huh,
on this point, that we have made ourselves incapable of moving.
Right.
So now, since we didn't move that much, we have, you know, in India also, we have adopted that Western culture of seating toilet and something, and now we are not even going beyond our 90 degrees,
yes,
angle. Earlier, if you still go to villages, you will see people in line. If there is any, you know, any kind of event happening somewhere, people end up spending their 12 to 15 hours just sitting down in squat and watching that event peacefully.
Yes.
No pain, nothing.
No pain.
And then they move also like this, right? They move also like this. I used to see my mother and grandmother, they used to do mopping at home, and they used to be in squat position and they keep on walking and mopping and brooming. No pain, nothing. Right? Functional, quite functional. Mobility on the hips and the knees, and they were nice, right? Nowadays, no one is going beyond 90 degrees. Everyone is sitting at home in a chair, in the car on the chair, in the office on the chair, and then lying on the bed. Then in the toilet also, not on the chair. So it is also 90 degrees, nothing beyond it. So now we have stopped using that joint beyond that. And this term came from Western world, not from India, let me tell you, this knee thing. Because they have stopped sitting down way, way back, right? Because they developed very fast than us. So they had that seating toilet way beyond, way before us. So then they were not moving at all. So now when they stopped moving beyond that limit, now when they went to gym and they started doing that movement, they started getting pain. And then they said, no. Never go beyond, you know, that gives you pain. Why it is giving you pain? Because your muscles are not strengthened there. The tendons and ligaments are not strengthened there to hold that load beyond that limit. Because you have never trained your body for that. So that term came from that point, from that stage. And now we are just, you know, just listen somewhere in article and something in YouTube, and we are applying everywhere to our clients also. No, don't go beyond this. Just check it. Your knee should not go beyond your toes. It is not healthy for. Even if it is a healthy person, you are limiting their range, and one day he will start getting pain because of this.
Exactly, because you already have limited their.
So if someone has pain now, for that person, I would say okay. Not maybe with weight, but with assistance, you can still do it. Still do it with assistance. Yeah, I made them do it in rehab training. Let's say, hold the TRX. Reduce your body weight. Hang on the TRX and do it. Why not?
If the range is pain-free, then they
That's it. And slowly, up to that range where you are not getting pain, start doing it. And slowly, you will see that your ligaments and tendons and those muscles around that joint start to get healthy and strengthening. Yeah. And you can go to the normal range, wherever you want.
So, very unorthodox answer from you regarding this. There is another big debate on this barefoot training.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we ask people to spend more time barefoot in their home. And I mean, personally, I have gained a lot of stability just because of, you know, and my toes are, you know, pretty apart from each other. They used to be too close to each other. So, is there, we should avoid training barefoot? Like, some people say, like, when you're doing weight training, you should avoid training barefoot. Or there is some particular time we should be barefoot or not barefoot. I'm not talking about like corporate meetings, but yes, in training, we should do training barefoot or...
Okay, so Abhishek, this is very very interesting topic. No, this is a very interesting topic basically, because I'm very glad you again, you know, put this up, and I would really love to discuss on this.
Yeah.
So, barefoot training, and I'm really a fan of barefoot training, I would say. I run barefoot.
Nice.
And I can give you hundreds of logic behind it.
Mm-hmm.
First, we didn't take birth with shoes.
Yes, agree.
Right? So when we took birth, there were no shoes on the feet. So nature is always saying, you came like without anything, with your body, go with that only back. Okay? So now what is happening in between, from the birth to the death, that we are just, you know, taking things and copying things from the society without even knowing what is happening, you know, without even knowing what is happening. And in that way, what I have seen, and it is very serious, though we have started with very, you know, in fancy thing, but it is very serious shoe nowadays, that I have seen a lot of people who always, you know, wear their shoes on, always their shoes are on. I have seen a lot of instability issue in their body. Lot of instability. Arches are not there, control is not there, injuries are there, ankle, knee, hip, lower back, lot of injuries are there. Why? Because there is a direct connection from touch and the body and the proprioceptions, which we just discussed a few minutes before. So your foot receptors have some sensing proprioceptors there, right? Which can sense what is happening in the ground, right? So they are connected with the ground.
Yes.
The moment you are taking that connection away from the body, by some layers under it. We call it shoes, right? That layer can be 1 mm, that layer can be 1 inch also, right? People take a lot of cushioning shoes for running.
Yes.
The more disconnection is there, the more layer is there, the more damage you are doing for your body. Why? Because your receptors have that power to tell your body, even before you are hitting the ground, to tell your body to be active and be ready for that force. But what is happening nowadays is people are getting a lot of injuries in running, mostly in running, because they are wearing a lot of, you know, cushioning shoes there. And the cushioning shoes, the problem is that they are getting, okay, good cushion support at the feet.
Right.
But beyond it, in the ankle, in the knee, hip and the lower back, when that force is traveling, it is not getting absorbed anywhere because your body is unaware of that force. The problem is unawareness of that body, you know, it is not unaware of that force. It is unaware of that force. So, the moment we are striking our foot down, body takes zero time, fraction of second also will be too much to sense what is happening. But when you wear that thick sole, your body gets disconnected.
There is a time lag.
And that force directly travels up. In 0 second, and that damages because your body is not prepared to accommodate that that force, right? And there people are getting injuries. But the people who are doing barefoot running, they are more aware of that running, because barefoot runner will never bang their foot down on the ground. Runner will always be aware of what is happening. His eyes will always be on the road or the grass or the ground, that if something is there. Yes. And he will be much more aware of the body, right? It is upright and chest is up and length, spine is neutral, and I am placing my feet very easy. And
I've never seen, I do sometimes barefoot running, and I've never seen I'm hunching, and I'm not even trying or following some particular running method.
True.
And I'm never doing heel striking.
Never do that.
And no, it's not happening.
You won't be able to do
it.
You will get pain.
Yes. So this is true. But don't you think like people are taking it to beyond healthy limits, like running on the road barefoot? I think it's dangerous, because we used to run on grass, on the sand, on beaches, but these roads.
True.
I mean, I don't know if it is healthy or not.
Yeah, I think, I would really say, when it comes to options, we should always choose the right one, right? Because options with us, right? So if it is possible to run on the grass and the ground and the beaches, that is far better than road running.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would again not debate here on this matter that it is super unhealthy or what. But again, the action and reaction will be more than, right? Because every action has equal and opposite reaction, like Newton said.
Yes.
And it applies everywhere. I say it karma, basically. It is a karma, right? So what you do, you get. Simple. It is a karma.
Actually, like people see these things on Google or on YouTube, that someone like Milind Soman is running these days barefoot. So it's okay, because he has built up.
Yes.
To
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. It's all about adaptability of the body. Yes. Then. So when you are training yourself like that, so like we discussed in the beginning, only body has no limits.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is a miracle. Yes. But you have to train it accordingly, slowly, slowly. You cannot put your 1 year kid into 12th standard right away.
Yes.
He has to go to preschool. That also after 2 to 3 years. Right? Then A, B, C, D, then some word making, then some sentences, and then something. Then into 12th grade, and then, okay, you want to be a scientist or a medical doctor, whatever, then you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So again, same thing. If you want to go road running, go for it. But start at least from the beaches, from the grass or the ground. Right? From the soft cushioning. But I would again say, but that doesn't mean that you start... you want to do barefoot run on the road and you are practicing wearing shoes on the grass or the ground.
Exactly.
Right? Again, the same thing. The receptor works. So if you are not training your receptors like that, if you are not training your body like that, it won't perform like that there. Simple.
simple. So
it is always healthy.
SAID, specific adaptation for
that's
a demand.
That's a set.
And do you think these barefoot shoes, like Five Finger Shoes or Vivo Barefoot or any other brand, they are good to run on?
There was a lot of debate in the past, Abhishek, when these shoes, you know, came up into existence, this five-finger one. But I think instead of debating on that fact that if someone is coming up with some solutions for you, right, and giving you same, almost same structure, but again, artificial will be artificial, I would say.
Yes,
it is not
yes.
natural again, right? So again, even if it is 1 mm of lining, it is still a lining.
Yeah,
it is again taking away that receptors for that nanosecond from you,
exactly.
right? But it is still better if you really don't want to ruin your feet from down, and you want, you are very much fashionable person, want pedicure every week and something, don't want to spend that much of amount in just taking care of foot, then definitely go for it. And also it totally depends that if you're running barefoot, it is also not safe for, you know, from injury perspective, if there is some nails or something, some glass cutting,
yes.
something, you can get injured, right?
Yes.
So always choose the right surface first, right? It is not safe, I would say. So I would not say the blindly just go and run barefoot. See the surface where you are running, right?
Yeah.
It should be safe. And that's for that reason, I think five-finger shoe will work, because there is at least some layering which is protecting you
some
from direct friction,
yeah.
right? But from that previous point,
yes.
I would say still...
Yeah, whenever possible, stay barefoot.
Whenever possible, stay barefoot. Then your receptor works. Then your foot works. Then your foot find the balance. And then your all the fingers, all the toes of the foot find the balance. And they are active. Because they are touching something. They are feeling something. Because this,
yeah.
only the senses which are working for human, right? Isn't it? If the senses are not there, or if you have control on the senses, you're enlightened then, I would say. But till that time, stay aware, I would say.
Yes.
Right? So if you are aware of your all the toes, and if they are working and actively fine, and they can only work when they are free, if they are in the shoes, they can't. And then people are getting a lot of plantar fasciitis issues nowadays,
yes.
leading towards the Achilles tendon issues, then the calf tension, then the front tension,
yeah.
all these things, leading from the foot only. Your foot is leading to your maybe neck pain also.
Exactly.
Right? Because it's the fascia.
Yeah.
All fascias are connected. So one is tight, it is leading to some other trouble. So it's always good to release your body as much as you can.
Like I say, people, I tell people to go and climb the trees to, you know, activate their feet.
It is, yeah, it is very good activity.
We were trying to climb the trees today, and most of us were unable to grasp. I mean, I was saying, like, put your foot here,
yeah.
put there, and they were unable to do
yeah.
it. Because they are not wrong, they're trying to do that, but their feet has lost that.
They have lost
yes.
that sensitivity, that yeah. connection, neuromuscular
this,
connection.
Yes,
yes. yes.
Mm.
It is again, use it or lose it. So they are losing it.
There is one more thing. I'm sure you have listened about it. This grounding thing, like when you
yeah,
walk barefoot, so you connect with Earth's magnetic field. So, do you have any idea about it?
See, I would not say much about that,
yeah.
the grounding thing. But still, it works in what way? That when your feet are down, like barefoot, you're down, like in yoga also we do it. So. Tadasana, which is a mountain pose, is the foundation pose of all the, you know, we call it blueprint, basically,
mm-hmm.
for all the yoga poses,
yeah.
right? Because if you get it there right, so it is not just about standing upright.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that. It is about activating your foot in such a way that your body weight is distributed everywhere.
Yes.
In the mount of the toes and on the heel. Everywhere.
Triangle.
Everywhere. The triangle should be activated. Once it is active and you are aware of that, you will see automatically your quads and everything is active on
right.
its own. And you have to do it then in all the variations of the asanas, whatever you are doing. Even in triangle, warrior 2 or warrior 3 or anywhere. That is the same principle and fundamental you have to apply everywhere. That grounding thing. So once you are connected there, it is done. And also, since we belong to this nature, I say we are not part of this universe, but universe is within us, because we are also having same molecules, same atoms
yes.
within us, right? Then that's why we get affected with the nature,
mm-hmm.
right? We get affected with the nature, right? And also we are dependent on the nature.
Right.
We cannot leave this planet Earth, can we?
No.
No, we cannot. We are very...
Not yet.
No. Even if you would, like find a way to go out with some kind of spaceship, but there you would be requiring all the fundamental things, key elements which you require on Earth.
Yes.
To survive there. So right. That means ultimately...
You're here.
You're here. You're trapped.
Yes.
In this planet. With some freedom. To see the sky and fly around. That's it.
Now, you have told us a lot about many things. Now, tell us about yourself. Because whenever... I mean, don't get offended. But whenever I meet anyone who's so knowledgeable... I find that they don't start their journey directly from the fitness
Definitely.
Industry. I don't know if you
Me
have,
too, me too.
Yes, yes. So, okay, now it's okay. So, please tell us, how did you start in this industry, before this industry, and then why did you come here? And you have done, you know, your journey is quite amazing. Like, I know you start from that rehab course, and then I came to know you have become a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and then suddenly I came to know that you are doing something in yoga. So how did it happen? Like, it's a very eventful life.
Yeah, Abhishek, I would say, first of all, I'm a very flowy person,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I love to flow with the time, with the movement.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't resist myself. I accept what is coming. That's it. It's a very simple thing which I follow in my life. I just accept, right? I really don't plan anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I at least know my goal, what I need to be, and I stay there in that bubble, you can say. So I don't go out of that bubble, but whatever is happening in that bubble related to that thing, I stay there and keep on reaching everywhere. Because everything is man-made in the end, isn't it? We have created everything, right?
Right?
On this planet, whatever tools and equipment you see, whatever things you can see, professions you can see, who have made that?
We did it.
We did it, right? Apart from nature things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything in artificial way, we did it. So if we have done everything, then that means we are capable of doing everything. Then why not to do everything then if you can, if you're getting the opportunity. And also, my personality is something like that. I cannot get satisfied with one thing. So I always keep on looking for something else. So I really hate that word which we call stability in life.
No.
If Earth is revolving, it is not stable. Why you are stable there?
Stability is for trees.
Stability is not only for trees also. I would say trees also move. They also, if you see that tree lifestyle, tree also communicates and moves and do things.
Yeah, they communicate.
Yeah. But yeah, they're staying there,
yes.
you mean to say. Yeah, don't be a tree. Move around. Basically. Yeah, so I started my journey. You're right, I did start my journey from fitness industry, but I was always so active into sports since my childhood. So I was not very brilliant in education, I guess. So I was always into, you know,
playing
outside, this and that. And where I stay in my locality, my all friends were from sports background. So they seriously used to do some sports, and I was the only kid, I think, who was with them doing all those stuff, but not really doing that seriously, but involved. So most of my friends are boxers, few are tennis players, few are cricketers, few are judo players. So all of them are in some of the other streams, but I was the only kid who really didn't get that permission from maybe home. Do such things. So my parents were like, study, that's it, nothing else, you have to study. So it's okay, I tried my level best to get into sports, but really didn't get that opportunity of support and the help from the background. So I was like, it's okay, fine, I will do what I need to. Then I slowly and gradually wanted to go into fitness field, but then I'm talking about 12-15 years back, I thought, okay, at that time, the BPO industries were in boom, so I was like, okay, let's try this, because if I'm not going anywhere, I have to do something, right? I just graduated. So I started with my BPO industry. I worked with IBM. So I worked there as an executive. Then I started working there, and slowly, time was spending. And then I met my current wife means only wife, not like past wife or future wife. I mean my wife.
You're gonna be in trouble.
I met my wife there, and then yes, so the moment we got married, after that, because before that it was just like fun, you know, just spending time. Okay, I'm doing BPO jobs and enjoying also. Okay, your cab is coming to pick you up, cab is coming to, you know, drop you, you're getting meals there and this and that, blah 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 stuff, everything's happening, you're enjoying things, but then you have to take life some seriously and you have to do something which you really want to. And I always wanted to do something into sports and fitness. Then one of my friends suggested me to, okay Gaurav, you do one thing, do this course first, start with this at least, because he was already doing a job in some fitness industry. So I asked him, then he suggested me, I did it. The moment I did it, I did both simultaneously. I was doing that job also, I was doing that course also for 3 months. So I did that. The moment I did it, I directly applied in a fitness industry, in a gym. So, and I got selected there, and thanks to the interviewer. He showed his trust on me and took me as a fresher only there, but maybe because of my attitude only, right attitude there that time. And also I was very interested in, you know, fitness things. I kept on reading that point of time, so I had few knowledge about, okay, what happened in the industry.
You didn't start from this industry.
Yeah,
most trainers don't read.
Yeah, no, but I used to read. I used to read because I used to gymming also before that. So I started my gymming maybe when I was 14. So I used to go to gym and doing my workouts, and I was already into sports. So I was doing a lot of activities since beginning. I was like this. Then I started that. Then, but that was the time I then never, you know, turned back. Then I kept on doing some of the other fitness courses. And the best part was with me that whatever I did, I taught at the same time. So whatever I did, I start teaching the very moment. And that is the best way to, you know, practice, and that the best way to enhance your skills more, right? So I started doing the courses, I started sharing the knowledge with my colleagues and the clients and everything, and I started doing all these things and keep on doing that. Then slowly I end up doing ACE certification. Then after ACE certification, I started teaching ACE classes and ACSM classes to colleagues with one of my friend with whom I'm not no more working because I'm somewhere else. Then I also decided, okay, let's do some strength and conditioning course, like you said.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, let's do it. So I did self-practice, self-study. I ordered books and I started studying. It was not easy, I would say. It was like so much time consuming, and it was very different from, you know, other things, whatever I did as of now. It was totally different. So I did that, then I started doing some CrossFit also, some Olympic lifting with that, because I was thinking, okay, since I'm going to do this, then I should do this also. I was, and I enjoyed that moment also, that point of time. Then I did that, then after that I went for interviews for, you know, as a sports conditioning coach, but in India no one appreciates your, you know, things. So it was like that, and it really didn't, you know, took my attention towards them, because one is financial, second is not that much appreciation in that thing. So I decided to, okay, whatever I'm doing, I will just keep on doing that. Then I started, then one rehab training came into existence. I got to know on online, then on Facebook, and I was like, okay, I'm so much interested, because I was always like this, something new, okay, I have to do it. As far as it is related to the health and fitness, I have to do it. Then I was like, okay, I have done CPT, I have done CSCS, now let's rehab and let's combine and let's see what happens. And fortunately, after doing that course, I got that opportunity right away to teach, because rehab trainer, master trainer Ulrich Larsson, he saw that potential in me, and I requested him if I can. Then he was like, okay, go for it, if you are interested and you are, you can do it. And I would say it started like, you know, very slow, but it picked up like very fast. So in today's day, I would say I've trained hundreds of fitness professionals on rehab in India, and I also went to Indonesia and China for that training. And again, I'm going to Indonesia in May for that purpose. So that is something which I'm now doing on every monthly basis, you can say. With that, I've got a lot of other opportunities from Australian companies only, like Crank It Fitness for suspension trainer. So like TRX is there in India. So we have suspension trainer from Australia called Crank It Fitness. So they have the same modalities because the equipment is almost same, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll do the same stuff, same work, but they mainly focus on corrective exercises and some
with suspension trainer.
So we more focus on, you know, biomechanics and injury prevention, all these things. And then I also a part of FTI, Functional Training Institute, again a company from Australia, wherein I can teach kettlebell, power bags, and battling ropes for them, and some mobility exercises.
Yeah, so why you started yoga?
So yoga, I was just following on and off at home only. So it was nothing serious about it. So I was just doing some pranayamas, some meditation and asanas practice at home only. But again, nothing serious. And I was also, like others, used to take yoga as a flexibility exercises and nothing beyond that. But getting into yoga, I would say, was just an accident. When I say accident, then I was really not prepared to get into yoga. In fact, I was about to go to Australia for my further studies. I end up having admissions and everything, but when I moved to Rishikesh, in that meantime, when I had some time before my admissions, so I went there for 2 months course for one diploma, and I end up fell in love with it. I was like, oh man, this is the thing which I want in life, maybe now.
I thought you fell in love with bungee jumping.
Yeah, that also I did there.
Yeah.
So whatever comes in on my way, I just end up having that, you know. So then I thought, yes, yoga is a holistic approach. It is not just asanas, which I used to think like others.
Yes.
Like it is not just asana, it has 8 limbs. And everything has their own role in life. I loved it. I loved the concept. Like, I was like, amazing. I will do this. Then I started doing that. Then after that, fortunately, I don't know, it's God's blessings on me or something, that I'm very fortunate that whatever I think for or wish for, I get it.
Yes,
I get it. So I was like, okay, I've done it. I have to now teach, you know, I have to get into teaching. And fortunately, I got the opportunity to teach somewhere, right? And now I am not only teaching, but I have developed my own courses into yoga. And it's all about doing the yoga in corrective way, because nowadays everyone is getting a lot of injuries into asanas, and also getting a lot of dysfunctions, physiological dysfunction due to breathing exercises, because they are not doing it correctly. So slowly and slowly, I'm developing my other programs also into yoga, wherein I can help people. It is just a knowledge sharing kind of workshop where I can tell people or share with people that what are the right techniques to do it instead of just doing it. Yes, you're doing it. Very good. Keep on doing it. But how to do it correctly, so that you can get the benefit and advantages out of it rather than getting some disadvantages out of it, right? People are getting yoga injuries, yoga related injuries.
Yogis are hurting their shoulders, wrist, and they're trying to be super bendy and hurting their hamstrings.
True. So that is something now I'm also teaching and also developing my program into yoga. And I'm really loving it. So I would say, being human, we should do everything if we can get the opportunity to do, because we should not hold ourselves back. Because you never know what will come where, what will help you where. Because you, being human on this planet, have to face other humans on this planet, and everyone is dealing with something or the other. And if you know certain stuff, you can maybe help someone.
Yes.
So I did CPR and AED also, for instance, for AHA, American Heart Association. So you never know when these things will come into, you know, life for you and may prevent someone somewhere, right? So that's why I like to flow. And in today's date, I am teaching rehab, I'm teaching functional trainings, I'm teaching suspension trainings, I'm teaching fitness courses, national and international, anatomy and physiology, strength and conditioning, to certified personal training courses, to yoga courses, yoga rehab, and everything, CPR and AED. So you name it, and I'm there.
Yes, yes.
For the moment.
It's very welcoming change that, you know, now trainers are becoming educators. They used to be like only training people, and it was what I should say, people used to feel pity for trainers, and now, you know, on hourly basis, if you'll see, trainers are beating all other professions hourly remuneration.
Yes.
We are, you know, just killing everyone else.
Yes,
we're earning really well. In the end, I would like to ask, or I would say, I would like you to tell the fellow trainers and fitness industry some message. So, you know, we have discussed a lot that how we misuse the ideas which we get through our certifications. There are things which we, you know, which we learn from certifications, but we never teach to our clients. And people are not being professional when they are, you know, teaching their clients. Like, they don't value their client's time. Most of the people, like you see, trainers are on their phone. And there is one more thing, like you, Arun, and there are many other trainers who are doing great as an educator. So if someone wants to become an educator, how to go for that? I mean, it's a very loaded question.
Abhishek, no, that's a very right question, I would say. And I also end up having these questions every day, in fact, you know, from the trainers, that they also, you know, shows their interest in becoming educator. And I really appreciate that, because if someone wants to get out of the comfort zone and want to do something different for the community and society, then definitely they should be welcomed, right? And I'm always open to help them in that manner. So it always, everything starts from yourself, from within. No one can come to you, to your door, and knock and tell, okay, come and you be my educator, right? So if you're interested, yeah, get your fundas clear about things, but you want to, right? Don't be just that YouTube junkie that go there and saying stuff and then preaching stuff in front of other without knowing the contraindications of it, what will happen, or the latest research about it. So I would say, be your facts right. If you want to be an educator, be your fundas right. Start from yourself. Find a company or an organization, or just start doing yourself. No one has, you know, everyone has developed their own program one day, maybe 10 years back or 20 years back, and now they are brand. Start from yourself and you'll be brand one day, maybe. That's what I'm doing nowadays, because I was doing for someone else. But with time, you learn your things also at the same time, right? Then you see that, okay, something is missing and you can add on. And you can create your own things then, right? And it's all about being grounded at the same time. There is no competition. I would say life is not competition, not a contest. And you are not ahead of anyone. No one is behind of you, right? Everyone is on their own journey. Everyone is on their own time. On time, and I think we don't really need to rush about it. And everyone is a teacher, everyone is a student. Maybe sometime I will come to Abhishek and Abhishek is going to teach me something. I'm Abhishek's student. Abhishek, my teacher. Someday maybe Abhishek will come to me and for the tip or something, and maybe that time I'm delivering something and Abhishek will get something. And Abhishek is a student, I'm a teacher. So everyone in this world is a teacher and a student. So I like to be a student always, because if you're a student, you're learning, you're open. If you're a teacher, you're blocked. The moment you say you're a teacher, that's it, you're done. Because now you know everything. When you know everything, your cup of life is not empty now, right? You have to empty your cup of life to get some new, something new. So I like to be a student always, and that's why I love to always learn and upgrade myself and keep on doing something new. and currently I'm doing my master's in yoga. So again, I was free, so I thought what to do. So I thought, okay, let's enroll in yoga. So I'm doing that. So I'm a person like who never sit idle, basically. I keep on doing something or the other. And when people ask me this question, they want to be educator, want to do the, I just simply say, what do you do to upgrade yourself? What do you do? You want to be, definitely I can understand. Just by doing one certification, you cannot claim, right? If you're really interested, yeah, come up with me and show me your things. What have you done for this? Because in the end, you have to holistically combine everything together to deliver one thing.
Exactly.
You cannot teach one thing from one thing, let me tell you. You have to holistically design and get all the ideas together and deliver one thing. And knowledge is never perishable, and knowledge is never enough for anyone, right? You have to just keep on getting it. The moment you think that enough, that's it. That is your end, maybe. But knowledge is still there if you want to get it, right?
How do you instill this, like I asked in this question before, like, how do you instill this professionalism in trainers? Like, I've seen many trainers, they're really good, but like most of them, basic issues, they are training clients but they are using their mobile phone, they are never on time, they may be good in their stuff, and like, you know, they don't appreciate others. Like, they will learn something from you. I am not saying take your name, but at least appreciate your teachers. So this is something which is hugely lacking in this industry, and that's why this industry is not even able to, you know, stand with others.
True.
People say, like, one of our fellow trainers sometimes back did a Facebook live session, and he said that why people don't respect us as they respect engineers and doctors. And my point was that you don't do things like them. That's why they don't respect you.
You don't have to ask and beg for the respect.
Yes,
respect so has to be created and generated.
What do you think is the reason people, trainers behave so irresponsibly, and they want people to, you know, respect them?
I think it starts from a very basic thing which we call in yoga also self-discipline and social discipline, or self-conduct or social conduct. Mm-hmm. So when you are not self-disciplined, you cannot, you know, expect yourself to be honest with others. So when you are talking about using mobile phones, cell phones, and cheating maybe clients, selling supplements and earning money from there, and all these small things, are not going on time, or maybe just making excuse and, you know, earning extra money somewhere else. And so all these are a part of self-discipline. So if you're not disciplined enough in your life, then you're not professional, simply, right? And if you're not professional enough to do certain stuff, I would say, even before upgrading yourself into professional things, start doing your that homework of foundation as a human, that you have to be first honest, disciplined, non-stealing, right? Non-collections, all these things, part of Yam and Niyam. You have truth, non-violence. All these small things, if it is there, you cannot teach those things, you know, to anyone, Abhishek. It has to be within a human. It has to be there within that. You cannot teach me not to steal. You cannot teach me to be honest. It is in my, I say that tendency. It is my tendency. I will be like this. Because my tendencies were developed because of my habits. And my habits developed because of my repetitions. So if you want to change the tendencies, you have to start repeating something else. And then it will become your habit, and then it will become your tendency. Right? So it is something within humans. So you cannot expect everyone on this planet to behave same. You cannot. Because it is people's different mindset. We call it mindset nowadays, but it is tendency, which is within. You cannot teach it.
I think you should start one course on that also, the trainers, how to behave as a trainer.
Again, I'm telling you, you cannot really teach these things. This is something I call self-awareness.
Yeah.
The moment you get that self-awareness, you are there. You really don't need any books. You really don't need any guru for that. But the moment you get that self-awareness of that light, that how, first be human, simple, right? First be human, don't need to be famous, don't need to be this and that. First be human. Human means you are friendly and loving to others, caring for others, right? Not having any intentions of harming others, not even by words or actions. If you are there in that way, you're already grounded. Once you're grounded, everything is there. And it shows. It shows in your aura. It shows in your personality. Right? It shows. So you have to just follow that basics. And it cannot be taught, I would say. Really, it cannot be taught. You can read a number of books of Swamis. Yeah, you can listen to the lectures. Unless you will get that self-awareness inside, you won't. You can't get it. So in this, certified personal trainer courses, they teach you a lot of behavioral skills and communication skills. It won't come like that. It really won't come like that. First of all, you have to really dig deep inside you. So come out of that superficiality of, you know, this worldly thing. Go inside and find out yourself first, that what you are. Do you really want to do it, or you're faking it? Why are you doing it?
I think it's a huge responsibility. As a trainer, we are standing, you know, between hospital and clients. If you not go through us, and if you are not doing things correctly, you will end up in medical facilities.
True.
So, if we have such a great responsibility, we should act responsibly.
True, Abhishek. And this is something I am, facing some issues with also, because whenever I try and, people want to be, be an educator or something,
yes,
something, or they want to earn more. Mm-hmm. The first question trainer asks anytime, like they will call me and, sir, I want to do one certification. Okay, do it. Sir, how much I will earn, do you think? I said, how would I know that? That is your capacity, that is your capability. Where are you working? How you are working? And are you only working for money, or it is your passion? What is that? First, make it your passion. You are doing something, want to change your field just for the money. You are saying that trainers are earning well, but not all. Sorry, bad fact, not all. But even if you are finding those couple of trainers who are earning well, but are you working something like that? Are you just coming for the money point? If you're just coming for the money point, that won't work maybe. Really won't work, because you have to be passionate about it. Once your passion is there, then you can create things. When you're creating things, then you can share things. And that's how that chain goes. But if you're just coming for money, that will stop. Your client will go and you're there alone.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're passionate, then there will be no, scarcity of any clients or your viewers, or maybe your listeners and your public.
Exactly.
There will be many.
There should be substance.
Yeah. So you should be that much potential, having that much potential within you. So come with that passion. If you're coming with that passion, there is no point of question of asking how much you will earn. Earning doesn't really matter maybe in the end. It really doesn't. I never think of my money earning. Never. I just do my things and think it's okay. Money will come.
Yeah. And it comes.
And it comes. Sure. When you're doing something, it will come. It is action reaction in karmas.
Yeah. So, Gaurav, it was my final question. It was really a wholesome discussion. I learned a lot of things, and the way you integrated so many things, and I see a huge impact of yogic traditions on your words, and it is looking. I feel it is now getting better in this industry also. Like, people are talking sense, and they are not, just picking one idea and boasting about it. And now you just did amazingly well explained rehab from the yoga perspective, from strength perspective. I thank you a lot. You came here and you gave me so much time, and just say something for our viewers finally, and that'll be the end.
First, thanks a lot, Abhishek, again for inviting me here and making me feel that important person in my life. Like, okay, I got a viewer also doing something maybe somewhere, and so someone is there to listen to you also.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot for that moment. It really feels nice. And I'm always there to help people, and I would just say to viewers and to people, basically humanity, that, you know, first be human, always be persistent and be determined about your goals, whatever you want in life, and stick there. Don't change it. You know, stick there. Maybe you can change the options, but stay on that same path. And if you're there on that same path, you will eventually see that you're going to end up getting it sooner or later. Mm-hmm. But keep on walking. It is something like going on the path of enlightenment, samadhi in the end. Mm-hmm. But if you're diverting yourself into illusions every now and then, that's not a main point. The main point is, are you coming back to the same path? Yeah, diverting is okay because we are made for that, I think. Right? Yes. Our mind is like that. We keep on diverting. But the main point is, are we getting self-aware and coming back to the path? Mm-hmm. And again, walking our journey, maybe creeping, if not walking. But are we on the same page? Are we on the same line, going towards that direction? And slowly and slowly reducing those milestones.
Yeah.
Right? If it is 200, now it is 150, then maybe 100, then 50. Like, you're closer, getting closer and closer again and again. But persistence and determination is the key, which I follow normally in my life. So when I love to do something, I just, you know, get the tail of it, if not the head, and just stick. And just stick. I don't leave it. I just want to, you know, grapple, grasp it. And one a very important thing I would love to share, you really need a well support from background to do certain things, because alone you can't do anything. Alone, human, yeah, we come alone, but energy works for you, you know. I would love to thank one very important person in my life, my wife, who always supported me for all my decisions. She never ever asked me a question, why you're doing this. She always said, go for it. And that support, if you have from your loved ones, nothing like it. You end up doing anything then.
Best wishes for Road to Revamp. Thanks, Gaurav.
Thanks again, Abhishek.
And listen to our podcast with Gaurav with utmost attention, guys.
Hey, guys. You were listening to Gaurav Negi sharing his journey in fitness industry. Find us on Facebook, Instagram and Medium under the name Road to Revamp. Check out our website and stay tuned for more such amazing content. My name is Sagar and you are listening to Road to Revamp.